This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 280 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, freshly returned from his travels from creativephotoworkshop.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Tell you what, I think I've flown about 4,000 miles since we last spoke.
Really?
Boy, my arm's tired.
Boom tish.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
I was a little distracted for a minute there. I'm on this website, and it's got this little lever with a red knob on it, and it says, do not pull. You know what I had to do, of course.
Yeah.
You know what happened?
What?
Nothing yet. I'm still waiting. Very disappointing.
Right.
Not sure if it's got – nothing's happening at all. It's very disappointing. Right. Hello.
How are you?
You know, good. I am actually tired, but good.
So where have you been?
I've been to Adelaide, Gold Coast, Brisbane and Cairns.
Right. That's getting around a bit.
Just a little bit.
It's, good thing you weren't in Brisbane this afternoon.
Oh, some seriously bad weather up there, isn't it?
It was nasty.
Incredibly bad. It was I was up past above Cairns, and it was 34-35 degrees, so mid-90s. About 120% humidity and raining.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I saw a video that our mate William Long put up on Facebook this afternoon.
Too, yeah.
God, it was just pelting down. And I saw a photo that someone else had posted, and it was a photograph of cars in the street, and these cars were just riddled with holes from the hail.
Yeah.
Like punched right through the,
It's not something you want to be walking around in, is it?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I was thinking about you wouldn't want to be out on a motorcycle and getting caught in it.
Yeah, good point.
It'd be seriously painful.
Unpleasant.
I mean, your head would be okay because you're in a helmet, but.
Yeah, so that's the cars have got holes in them.
But even if you're wearing a leather jacket, those hailstones would seriously hurt.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty.
As opposed to the fool I saw driving between Gold Coast and Brisbane the other day in a motorbike weaving between cars, doing about 120
right.
In shorts and a singlet.
Oh.
And going, dude, it just takes one little slip. It doesn't even have to be your fault.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And I'm a stickler for that. Like, no matter how freaking hot it is, I've always got jacket and gloves on.
Yeah.
And I never ride in shorts ever, and I would never ride in shoes that weren't covered either. You know, most of the time I'm riding in leather boots, but occasionally, if I'm just doing a quick run to the shops, I might ride in sneakers. But most of the time, I'm in leather boots.
Yeah, as we always know, it doesn't matter how great a rider you are. It's not,
that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Exactly it. You know, and you do your best as a motorcyclist, you do your best to keep your eyes, everywhere, 360 degrees around you all of the time.
That's why they crash so often, because they've got the fucking... No wonder.
But there's still times.
Is that why they go up on one wheel so often?
So you can see behind you, that's right.
Yes, I love it when they do that. That just, Do you ever see that scene in the movie Mad Max / Road Warrior for our American listeners where there's this bike, he's going down the road and Mad Max comes over the hill behind him and he puts his car into like mega overdrive and just races up behind him and shoots through them all?
I don't remember that scene, but anyway.
I'm so tempted to do that all the time.
If only your car had quite that much get up and go.
Exactly. Well, you need to get up and go to get up and gone once you've done that through them, because they'll chase after
you. Yeah, right. So exactly.
You need a little bit of oomph to get gone. I remember that scene clearly because it's something I've wanted to do many a time. Not that I suffer from road rage.
Yeah.
But after watching my 3-year-old pretending to be driving a car the other day, and this little cardboard cutout, she's driving like going, get out of the way, get out of
the way. She's like Maggie in the opening sequence of The Simpsons.
She's yelling out, get out of the way, in my voice, get out of the way. I think I'm being a bad influence on my children.
Excellent.
Oh, dear. So anyway, my travels are now finished, fortunately, so I'm kind of pleased to be home. I got home last night, so I'm kind of pleased to be home. And
so
all I'm going to do now is process five. How many shoots did I do? Five or six shoots, I think I did over the past couple of weeks.
So is that the end of your travels for 2014?
I don't know about that. You never know. But
yep.
for this particular project, for this particular organisation,
right,
it's over and done with bar the processing of all the bleach. But I mean to
all over flown, bar the shouting.
gets flown to Adelaide, and then drive for a good hour or so for a quick shoot in a store, then to Queensland. It's just mad to be flown all the way around for these very short periods of shoots. You know, just,
yeah, right.
It just seems it's a bit of a folly of a lifestyle sometimes.
Right.
You know, it just seems like, really, is this the best that we can be doing with ourselves? Is there nothing better we could be doing with our lives, something a little slightly more important? Yeah.
Anyway.
So much time in planes and airports and so little time, you know, to actually...
Yeah. And that's the worst part is the airports.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's the worst thing. Any travel
for everything we know of, you know, modern technology, airports just suck.
Where's our matter transporters?
Yeah, exactly. A teleporter.
Just photocopy me and just
zap me to there. Yeah,
that could be really annoying. Too, like, yeah, I live just far enough away from my parents that they have to call before they come.
Right.
Because they don't want to drive all this way and no one be home.
Yep.
But not so far that they go, by the time they get here, they've got to stay the night.
Right.
If they could matter transport, they'd pop around for 3 minutes after school.
Yeah.
You know, technology's got its curses. Doesn't make life easy for everybody, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, how's your week been anyway? Good?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Work has been a little quieter than the previous 2 weeks, which I'm thankful for, because the previous 2 weeks were just crazy busy. But no, generally, everything's good. Our constantly thwarted photo shoot with Nick, my mate Nick and myself, is now going ahead for this Sunday. So we're going to catch up with a model that I used, 4 years ago, I guess, and have not shot with her since. And she reached out to me probably about 6 or 8 months ago and said, oh, look, you know, I've been really quiet and thinking about getting back into the modeling. So if you want to do anything, let me know. And after we had all these, you know, recurring issues of not being able to find a venue or a model or whatever over the last few weeks, I thought, I'll give her a yell and see if she's interested. And she was. So,
cool.
Yeah. So we're just going to go and find her. You know, like what you and I did with Sarah Hardy, just go and find a, you know, bit of a sort of an industrial wasteland type thing and see what we come up with.
What days are you doing it?
Sunday.
Let's go to downtown Sydney.
Yeah, exactly.
That place is just a cavernous ghost town on a weekend, isn't it?
Oh, I wish, but no, it's not.
Downtown, in downtown, in the main central business area it is.
No, it's not really.
It's empty. Oh, no. Compared to any other town in this country it is.
Okay.
You go to Queensland or Melbourne, you can't move downtown on a weekend. Sydney, you could shoot a cannon down the street or even a Nikon. And, you know, you wouldn't hit anybody.
Yeah, right.
Unless I mean, by the water, you're going to get people, but actually in town, relative to other areas.
I don't know. The times that I've been into the centre of city on the weekends, it's always been crowded. But
I find 5:01, the whole place packs up and everyone goes home.
Oh, I wish. Yeah. Jeez. Anyway.
Well, I hope it goes ahead this time, mate.
Yes. So
then he's got to pick on for ages.
That's of course. I don't know if you saw through the week. I can never remember the guy's name. I think he's David. Polish. The guy Polish. Who he goes by the name, or he uses the business name Aurum Light. You know the guy who does the milk photos?
Yes.
Like with the milk splashes on the models?
Yeah, the milk ones, yeah.
Yeah. Milk he's man. Been picked up by Coca-Cola.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not milk.
Hey?
That's not milk.
Well, they are. They're about to market a milk product.
Really?
And so they've, I don't know if they've contracted him to do images specifically for them or if they're just using some of the images that he's shot in previous, shoots. But I saw him post on Facebook through the week saying that, you know, he's really excited to have signed a deal with Coca-Cola. Yeah, exactly.
I'm very excited about the check and the photo should be fun too.
Yeah, absolutely. So well done to the guy. Wow. I think, is it Jarek? Is that his name? Something like that, anyway.
Yeah, so I always have trouble with those Polish Swiss names.
Yeah, so anyway, Link will be in the show notes if anyone wants to check it out.
Let's get Milena to tell us.
Yeah.
You know, she's from Europe. You know,
yeah, same close thing. Enough.
They're,
yeah.
They're all the same.
Yeah. Oh, you come from Melbourne. I know a guy down there. He's got a black dog. You must know him.
David. I did that on a plane once. I said, someone started saying, oh, you know, I've got some friends down in Perth, something like that. 3,000, 4,000 kilometres away.
It's just on the other side of the island, right?
The Perth. Oh, I wonder if you know them. I said, who are they? And they said their name, and I've gone, you're kidding. Really? The Johnsons? And they've gone, you know them? I said, no. It's a big bloody country, lady. Nice. What do you think? You're from LA. Do you know everyone in New York? I mean, come on. Same distance. But then, a few years earlier, my mum was on a bus trip in the middle of nowhere Europe, right. Sat down next to a woman who used to live next door to her father.
Wow.
I mean, just weird stuff happens.
Yeah, it can be a small world sometimes.
It's a big, small world.
Yeah. Now, the second link that I've got in the stuff that I sent you.
I'm still waiting for the first one to open. That's our slow.
Oh, forget that.
I'm actually typing in the ones and zeros to get the images up. It's faster. I'm waiting for my internet to load up.
I've moved on. I've gone past that. Get to the second one. The Japanese photography studio.
So we want to stretch this stuff out, dude.
What's wrong?
We haven't got much to talk about.
Oh, we've got heaps to talk about.
Yeah, but nothing from me, which is the important stuff. So, we need to fill.
So the second link, the Japanese photography studio. This guy built a photography studio specifically so that it would have awesome light all the time.
Specifically or pacifically?
Yes, one or the other. Take your pick. You want to have a look at this thing and launch the gallery. There's a link at the sort of at the bottom of the text, just above
the pictures of the building here.
That's the one. Yep. So you click on that, and then it'll take you to a gallery of just different parts of this photo studio that he built. It's an awesome-looking building and has some great-looking light too. And I love how one of the parts of the ceiling has frosted glass, so it's kind of like this massive softbox. Really nice.
So it's an amazing-looking building. You know what I don't say, though?
What's that?
Any photos taken in it?
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Show me some photos of actually why this effort to make this building. Has it produced something spectacular? Well, maybe, or is it just artist folly?
Maybe these photos were taken the day that they finished building it and he hasn't had a chance to do a shoot yet. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I liked the idea. I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of money that you could just go and build a room specifically so that the light is always awesome?
They built Rembrandt lighting right into the architecture by creating a large softbox.
I could imagine Sue Bryce doing something like that. Anyway.
I just want to see the photos.
Well, send him an email and go, oi, show us some images.
Show us your pics. I can't even find there was no name of who the photographer is.
No, I didn't see a name there, but I'm sure if you dug hard enough, you'd find it.
Doug who, sorry? Doug Hardenough. It's his name. Hello, I'm Doug Hardenough.
Yeah. And the third thing that I had was a product that was launched a couple of months ago now called Mylio.
Yes. People have been going on about this at me for weeks and I haven't bothered to even look at it yet. So tell me all about it.
Well, I've done marginally more research than you have.
Sorry. 1% more than nothing. It's called nothing.
Which is, I watched the 2-minute video of the guy who created the thing.
So what you're saying is you put 2 minutes of research into
this. Yeah, exactly. Like I said,
more than you. We're going to start getting a reputation for well-informed commentary if we're not careful.
I don't think we're in any danger of that.
Turning to us for actual advice. It's like, come on, you've researched this. What do you think?
The day they say that to you, I'll know they're not listening at all. Anyway, so this thing, it's kind of like a cloud-based version of Lightroom.
Okay, so Lightroom's in the cloud as well. So what
Yeah, next? And what seems to be the selling point with Mylio is that you set up the app across all your devices, and your catalog of images is continually synced across all those devices. And in the video, they show where, you know, they'll make a tweak to an image on one device, but you can see two or three other devices sitting off to the side, and they all refresh, you know, straight away, you know, to prove that, you know, basically as you make a change to your image, it's that change is reflected across all your devices. And, you know, it's got all the usual metadata and geotagging and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of looks good, but I just have my reservations. And that's, I don't have any first-hand experience with it. I haven't used the product. So I'm not in a position to bag it, and I'm not bagging it out. I think I'm going to be the kind of person that always wants to have a hard copy of my images on my machine.
But
I'd be really keen to hear from anyone
who's... I'm sure you can as well. I'm sure that...
Well, yeah, yeah.
But whether it would sync or not. So what also is well, I want to know is what kind of editing capabilities does the program have? It's not just, okay, yeah, sure, I can sync.
Well...
But if it's only doing basic adjustments...
Allegedly, it's got all the same sort of tool set as, you know, as Lightroom has. And it does work with RAW files as well as, you know, your JPEGs and your TIFFs. So... In theory, all of the functionality is there. But
that's the word functionality. Don't the word functionality.
Why?
It's not a freaking word. It's got all the functions of Lightroom. Has why did it add ality to it?
Has all the functionality of Lightroom.
No, functions. Somebody made it up.
No,
they made up the word. To make, do you know what I saw today?
No, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's a made up word.
Bruce, this is important here. Do you know what I saw today? What
did you see today?
Minify. When you want to minify, you know, you got a window open and you want to make it smaller, you minify it. It actually comes up saying the word minify when you go over the icon.
Oh, that's awesome. Minify.
There's functionality I never asked for in this space. Anyway. Minify.
That's a perler. Oh, dear, oh dear.
So it's got all the functions of Lightroom.
Yeah,
it?
So it's got all the functionality of Lightroom. And if anybody who is listening to this podcast has tried Mylio out, even if you've stopped using it, love to hear your feedback. Would love to hear your feedback.
Why you stop is probably just as important as why you keep on going.
Yeah, absolutely. But if anyone is using it, please give us a yell and let us know what
you... Well, this is a trial version that lets you try the service for free on up to 1,000 photos.
Yeah.
There you go.
Love to hear some feedback from anyone who's actually used it.
Yeah, I know a few people have been sort of emailing me asking for my thoughts on it.
Sorry?
So you said before, you know, as soon as people started asking me my opinion on something, you know something's wrong. All these people have been emailing me, saying, oh, what do you think about this? So I'm going, oh, I haven't looked at it.
Right. Now, last year we spoke with, or it might have been earlier. Actually, no, yes, it would have been last year. We spoke with Nathan Oxley.
We did.
About the, what did they call it? The LED light cube or something? That product then got renamed to IC12.
No, IC12. That was always the name of the company.
IC12, is it?
Right. No, IC12 is the name of the company that makes it.
Right. Okay. So that product is now out and now shipping.
It's still called the Light Cube, as far as I know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Don't you love the name, though? IC12?
IC12.
Oh. You see it? Yeah, I saw one too. I see one too.
Oh, okay.
It's a funny name. It's like license plates. You can try and figure out what it is.
Okay. Anyway, so that product is now out, and those cubes are, I think they're about $600 each, and they throw out about 5,000 lumens of light. But someone, was it Adam, posted on our Facebook wall through the week to another Kickstarter project, because that the LED light cubes was a Indiegogo project.
It was.
Adam posted to another one on Kickstarter for a thing called Loom Cube, which are much smaller. They're only about an inch square, inch and a half cubed, I mean. Mm-hmm. And these things, you can run five of them simultaneously, Bluetoothed to your iOS or Android device, and you can independently control the power output of up to five of these cubes via Bluetooth from your device,
mm-hmm.
and you can use them as a light source for photographing with your camera phone.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Same people.
Yes. Yes. So I went looking at it, and there I see Nathan Oxley's name appeared. So I thought, wow, this is really interesting. Now, these things don't throw out anywhere near as much light as the LED cube. These things put out about 1,500 lumens. But I guess if you've got five of them working together, then you've got 7,500 lumens. So, yeah, very interesting. So I sent a message to Nathan asking
him, where the hell's my light cube?
Well, I asked him if he was available tonight, if he was going to be near an internet connection tonight, but I didn't get a response back from him today. So he might get back to us later on.
Lovely man. I hope he comes on.
Yeah.
Snob. He shunned us.
Snubbed us, he has. Yeah.
Now his product's out, doesn't need to flog it to our seven listeners.
That's
he's above us all.
Carl Hemmings has sent us a few things over the last couple of weeks.
Carl's done all my research this week. He's like my roving reporter.
He is. He's great.
Because I've got nothing of my own this week, and he's all this great stuff.
Well, you're excused.
No, I lie. I've got one thing. I've got two things.
Oh.
One which is totally useless and good for nothing.
So we don't need to cover
the
that.
The one which is kind of okay.
Okay. Give us the one that's okay.
No, I'll give you the one that's absolutely useless and good for nothing.
So Carl sent us a link to this great wedding video.
Tomorrow.
What?
Tomorrow is Black Friday in the US.
Yes.
Tomorrow is because we record Thursday night.
Yes.
And so it's Black Friday in the US.
Yep.
And our mate, David Duchemin, is doing massive discounts on his site.
Right. On Craft and Vision.
I'm sure his new video series will probably be half price.
Oh,
so for
okay.
All of you who can go back in time when you listen to this podcast, can go back 3 days in time to Black Friday, you'll be able to buy it for half price.
Excellent.
It's not going to be useless. Did you hear Stephen Hawking and some other boffins did a time traveling test the other week?
No.
That's fabulous. That's great. It's just the kind of weird, wacky stuff that I just love to pieces.
Yeah.
But Stephen Hawking and this bunch of other high-ranking people at
Propeller Heads
decided one night they were going to hold a time traveler's tea party and put on a special party for people from the future to travel to.
Right.
But here's the thing. They didn't announce it till the day after they had the tea party.
Nice.
it's just brilliant, you know?
That's awesome.
Isn't it brilliant? just brilliant, yeah. What came first, the chicken or the time traveler?
That's right.
So, little video, you say?
Oh, jeez.
Carl, our roving
report. Do you want to stick that microphone further down your throat? What'd you just do?
I was getting up off the bed just a little bit and just moved. Hello.
Jeez.
Is it too close to the microphone now, or should I take it out of my mouth?
That would be good if you took it out of your mouth, yeah. Yes.
I'm laying on the bed. I'm tired.
Of course you are.
A couple of it's in my arms. Ooh,
so, anyway, Carl sent us a video to an absolutely beautiful wedding video put together by a guy who markets himself as Pacific Films. And
Pacific Films?
Sorry?
Pacific Films.
Pacific.
Oh, sorry. It's one of my pet. Yeah, it's up there with their functionality. People say Pacific instead of specific.
Oh, okay, right.
So just thinking, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Pacific Films, you say.
Okay, moving on. Link will be in the show notes.
Now, what's so good about it? It's a wedding video. What
it was just beautiful. And he Carl, when he sent it through, raised the point that this whole thing was shot by one guy. So it must have been a fairly time-consuming thing to do because he's got, you know, multiple camera angles happening of what appear to be the same, you know, sequence of movements, but I think he probably had the bride and groom to be go through, you know, that sequence of moves a couple of times so that he could film it from different angles. He's got some drone work as well as some, you know, slider move, you know, dolly.
Like into like the one man band, you know, the guy who tried to play the drums, the mouth organ, all the stuff at once.
Very much so. It's beautifully shot and beautifully edited. And, yeah. So anyway, it's just worth a look if you want to see some nice videography.
It's just watching it. And it goes how long does it go for?
Oh, it's too bloody long. You can't watch it now.
I'll just watch it whilst I'm talking to you. Yeah.
So now your bandwidth will all go down the gurgler.
Now, here's the thing again, though. Okay, do you know what I want to see?
What's that?
I just wanted to scoot ahead until I could see the bride and groom.
Right.
What I want to see is someone put out, you know, one of these great bloody videos or blog posts from a wedding.
Hmm.
Big, fat, ugly people. Yeah, two honking huge, you know. Yeah,
the lumps. Type of,
yeah, when they're both naked, they both hold a mirror and say, you show me yours and I'll show you mine. Or the other way around. I'll show you yours if you show me mine. I'm sick of seeing beautiful brides and incredibly handsome grooms getting married and all these world's best wedding photographer stuff.
Right.
Show me Joe Butt Ugly and soon to be Mrs. Joe Butt Ugly. Show me them in their majestic, incredible light and fabulous settings looking fantastic.
Well, I guess once you get to that level of product, you can be pick and choosy about who you take on.
That's the point. Let's see you be that good. Here's a real challenge. Jerry Jonas, here's a challenge for you, dude. Knock back all the good-looking folk next year. Let's make 2015 the year of the also-rans. 2015, the year of the people who settled for the person they were with to get married.
Never going to happen.
2015. Yeah. Ruthless and toothless, we call them. You know? The Bogan tattooed toothless bride and groom, you know? And the family. Let's not forget the family because they've already got 14 kids. But this is the challenge for you, high-end photographers. Stop showing us your gorgeous glams. Show us this lot. I'm happy to go out and select them for you. it's a lovely video. That's one. If you're doing all that work by yourself, that's a standing amount of work.
Yeah. Anyway. Next one was 10 famous landmarks you are not allowed to shoot for commercial use.
Yes.
Which was rather interesting. Said landmarks include the Eiffel Tower at night. Now, I don't know.
You can do it during the day, but not at night. I knew this.
Why? What's the difference?
Because the lighting patterns, the lighting display that they use is copyrighted.
But if you're shooting a still.
But the actual patterns, the illuminations themselves, are copyright. So you can shoot it during the day.
Well,
you can shoot
bollocks.
It at night without. I'm serious.
Oh, I'm sure you're serious, but it's bollocks.
But it's because they are copyright.
That's just bizarre. The Louvre. I don't know why you couldn't shoot the Louvre, but anyway,
that's not allowed by day or night, which is interesting. So
you're right.
No. Except photographs of both the interior and interior and exterior of the Louvre, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame in Paris. So the top three, all in Paris.
And his name is Faitshaw, rings a bell if you remember that old guy.
That's right.
You know? Then his brother came to town a couple of months later and got the same job.
Yeah.
You know, same accident befell him.
Right.
Does anyone know his name? No, but he's a dead ringer for his brother.
That's right. Number four, Burning Man Festival.
I just love jokes. He just tell the punchlines rather than the whole joke.
Yeah, that's right. So much more efficient.
You know that one, there's three guys at a party stand that just going, number 62, and everyone starts laughing. Number 53, everyone starts laughing. Number 14, everyone starts laughing. This guy walks up and says, yeah, I'm very curious, what are you doing? And the guy said, oh, no, we've known each other for so many years, we've numbered our jokes, and now we just say the number, we think of the joke, we start laughing. He's going, you're joking. Give it a try. Try a number. He goes, all right, 17. Nothing. Not a joke. Not a whisper. Not a. He goes, what? Isn't number 17 a joke? Oh, it's a joke. It's not very funny.
Okay.
Burning Man Festival, you say?
Yeah.
As we segue right back. In, you're allowed to take photos of segues, apparently. As we segue right back. Why not let's take photos of that?
I don't know.
something to do with the copyright again. Look at that.
Crazy. The Hollywood sign.
Really?
The Las Vegas hotels. Bizarre. The Sydney Opera
either
House.
Here's the Hollywood sign. Either received permission or are in violation of... Because you know what Hollywood used to say?
No.
The sign.
What?
Well, it's actually Hollywood Land is the sign.
Oh, is it really?
But the land bit fell down.
Oh, right.
And it was actually an area where they're going to do a property development called Hollywood Land.
Oh, right.
And it never really took off. Something went wrong, blah, blah, blah. So maybe the land's still owned and the sign is still copyrighted by those people. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, right. Interesting. So all the Las Vegas hotels, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
The Sydney Opera House.
They're not restricted, but copyright. But all famous are the famous photography. I actually have to read
which
this.
One are you looking at?
Vegas. Vegas right. Is just down the road from LA. But unlike the Hollywood sign, photography featuring the iconic "Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas" sign are not restricted by copyright. The photos of the hotels are. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once again, architectural. You know, it's intellectual property for the design and stuff. I'd imagine Sydney Opera House. There we go. That's one close to home for us.
Yeah. Yeah, Ayers Rock I knew was off limits.
Yeah, but that's it's.
I disagree with it, but I knew that was the case. Stop it,
of course,
maps, globes, and atlases.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, probably for the copyright of the cartographer's work. And photos of Queen Elizabeth.
The Queen.
Yeah. How about that?
No, that's it. That famous shot of her just a couple of months ago at the Commonwealth Games.
Did you read the text?
What was that?
Okay,
the Queen's copyright is so restricted that you can't even photograph currency that contains the Queen's likeness.
No, you missed it. The bit above it. Okay, so the Queen isn't a famous landmark, but we are not amused.
What thousand celebrities would they try and restrict the use of their likeness? It's the only Queen too has succeeded in copywriting herself. Now, so she's broken her own copyright in some ways. Because when she photobombed those athletes' photo at the recent Commonwealth Games,
right.
You see that? She photobombed.
Right.
Shot and became a massively viral image of her photobombing the bag. So she's gone and made those girls break copyright.
Yeah.
That's probably what she was after. She was after she's probably going to sue them.
It's a phishing scam. That's what it is.
Unbelievable. Queen ain't got nothing. Has Charles been digging into the coffers and got nothing left?
That's it.
You have to resort to that kind of stuff.
Shocking.
Fabulous.
Anyway, last one from Carl.
Wait, more.
Yes. An awesome, awesome product photography taken with an iPhone. You'll love this, Glenn.
I heard about this.
There's a great image. The first image in the link is one of a hunting knife. And... he's further on down the post, he shows the lighting set up for it. Now, it kind of looks, when you look at the finished image, it almost looks like the knife is hanging in midair rather than actually laying on the table. But the as a product shot with an iPhone, pretty damn awesome.
One has to ask yourself, why bother?
I don't know.
If you've got those skills.
Yeah.
Of lighting skills and product placement and everything else. Why not just shoot it with a decent camera? It gives as much as I love taking photos of my iPhone, they're never going to be as sharp as a real camera.
No.
Or as big a file size to do stuff with.
Well, I don't know. I mean, put yourself in a hypothetical situation where you've been contracted to shoot a product shot and you roll up and suddenly find your camera's died, your SLR. Yeah.
Yes.
I suppose if you've got the skills and you can pull it off.
You have a spare. You never go anywhere.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Really, it's just very unprofessional.
But anyway, I thought he did a pretty damn good job.
He did a great job, but as you say, why?
Yeah.
I know you're saying that, Bruce. You're saying why?
Why? Why would you do that?
Why? Why is it so? Why?
Anyway, moving on. That's enough from Carl. Thanks, Carl.
He sent us one more.
Probably
the photo JoJo. This is the show of Carl.
Right. Oh, did I see that one?
I don't know.
Maybe I
did. But he sent one, and the photo JoJo's got a deck of cards called the Game of Phones instead of Game of Thrones.
Hang on, I did see that somewhere. That might have been on the Facebook wall.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Or it's just emailed to me.
Maybe. So tell us about it.
Oh, no, I'm just reading it now. Don't talk for a second whilst I read. Don't talk too late, because I can't read and listen at the same time.
Oh, okay, so I'll just talk quietly. Fill in by talking quietly.
Yeah, just.
Have you caught up yet?
No, that's what I've been talking to you about.
Dude, read faster.
I've been talking to you.
Read faster, Glenn. Read faster.
Just edit this out. Just edit this bit out. No one will know. And then we'll say, no, we're right on ball with that.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, consider it edited. It's all gone, mate. It's all gone.
JoJo's side. Just look at that.
I've edited it all out.
Have you? Excellent. Yes. Thank goodness, because I had to listen to it. It was bad enough me living through it. That's why I'm not able to listen to it. So what else have we got?
Okay, Steve Peters sent us from lightingessentials.com. What if the problem...
Makes a mean cheesecake, out, Steve, just so you know.
...is that you suck.
What? He makes a nice cheesecake. He's saying I suck.
What if the problem is that you suck?
Oh, yes.
Even more advice for the aspiring professional photographer. I didn't read all of it word for word. I did skim through it, but I thought it was very good, the bits that I read. So he said some of the problems might be, one, you suck at shooting enough pictures to make a difference. Two, your photographs suck. Three, your marketing sucks. Four, your presentation sucks. Five, your list sucks. Six, your client outreach sucks. Seven, your portfolio sucks. Hey?
Or your client, I gotta say.
Eight, your brand sucks. I've got to read the text from this one. Not your logo. Yeah, the one that you got from Fiverr. That totally rocks next to the fact that you have no personal look, never return phone calls, have no coherent message, no visual style, and are late with every shoot. Seriously, next to that disaster, the $5 logo has it really going on, man. Nine, your
$10. What they're talking about?
Your gear sucks, and 10, you suck. Anyway, it's a really good read.
I tell you, if my mum keeps writing this stuff about me, I'm going to get very upset. Yeah, I can take instructive criticism, Mum. Don't worry.
So thank you for that link, Steve.
I have to say, he does make a mean cheesecake, though, Steve.
Does he really?
It does. So if you're ever up there.
Up where?
He's in Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
Put an order in. Right. I was up there. I could have got two of them to deliver one to the airport.
And they're now going cheap because they're hail damaged.
That's right. That just keeps them cool. The layer of ice over time.
Right. our mate Adam Davidson sent us a couple of things. The first one was video of the new 5-axis sensor stabilization in the new Sony A7 Mark II.
Is one of them time? Is one of the axes is time? Does it move in time?
Yes, it does.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But get this, they reckon that with this 5 axes of movement, that they will be able to give you 4.5 stops of shutter speed back through image stabilization because of the way this sensor can move, which is pretty amazing because most...
I think they just need one
dude, axis. Get that microphone out of your mouth.
It's miles away.
Jeez.
They just need one axis of movement.
Really?
Yeah, time.
Needs more functionality. That's what it needs.
Just needs to move a fraction ahead in time where there is no camera shake.
Right.
And then you catch up with it, and it's already taken a steady image.
Right. Nice.
It's going to be easier.
Get the doctor working on that.
There you go.
Anyway.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did.
What did it do?
Well, it just looked like a sensor jumping around and about.
Do you have to match the movements? Do you have to chase it? It's like a little LED inside the viewfinder.
It's like one of those dancing games. You've got to jump around, you know, exactly. Stomp your feet in.
If you can keep up with this moving sensor, you get 4.5 stops. Good luck with that.
Yes. Now, did you see the rumor about two new Canon bodies allegedly in the works with 50 megapixel sensors?
Yep. I'm glad they've got that. That we need those more megapixels.
Oh, we do. Mm. We do. One with a high pass filter and one without.
Yes.
Now, remind me what the high pass filter does. Okay. I was hoping... Sorry, not a high pass, a low pass filter.
Oh, just the opposite of the high pass.
I know I should know what those filters do, and I've forgotten what it is.
I know I knew once, but it was so boring and so disinteresting that just bothered keeping it in there. There's only so much stuff you can keep in your brain, Bruce.
Is that right?
And stuff that's just like, you know, like my mum and dad's phone number, that stuff is just not important. It's just so right now. You don't remember all the girls that said no when you asked them out. You only remember the girls who said yes.
Yeah.
Some stuff is just not worth keeping in your head.
Fair enough.
Low pass, high pass, medium level pass.
Okay, moving on. Next one from Adam was, when pricing your photography, focus on the value of your images. And this was a blog post written in the context of, don't try and justify the price of your commercial photography service on the hours spent and the, you know, the travel costs and the time spent post-processing and the printing costs and all of those tangible things. The argument of this particular post was, you know, put a price on your images based on the intangibles and stick to it.
Yes, which I agree.
Thought, well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, yeah, it's too easy to, you know, discount all of those tangible things.
Absolutely.
Hey,
bidonmywedding.com, you know, that's where you go for high-class work.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's where the pros hang out. You know? That's where I want to be. The AIPP bidonmywedding.com website, sponsored by the Australian Institute of Professional Photographer Knots. Just, I know this is something you're not going to sleep tonight, Bruce, unless I say this to you.
Yeah.
A low-pass filter is a filter that passes signals with a frequency lower than a certain cutoff frequency and attenuates signals with frequencies higher than the cutoff frequency. The amount of attenuation for each frequency depends on the filter design.
Yeah, see, now that sounds like a high and low-pass filter in audio terminology, and I could have explained it in exactly those terms, but I'm pretty sure a low-pass filter could be described better in photographic terms.
Well, that just, you understood that?
I did, yes, absolutely.
You, my friend, are a king nerd.
I'm an engineer.
But it doesn't mean you have to be like that. You're so pedantic.
Dude, I use high and low-pass filters every single day in my audio work.
You're mainly pedantic about things. Why functionality? Why do you allow that into your life? Why?
Because I need the functionality of a low-pass filter.
The low-pass filter's purpose is to do away with the moire and aliasing colour artefacts inherent in the digital imaging process. Moire can result when finely patterned subjects' image at the focal plane conflicts with the pattern of the sensor's pixel grid. The conventional Bayer array sensors used in most digital cameras suffer the most from these artefacts because the Bayer array requires data from multiple pixels to produce full colour at each pixel site.
That's correct, yep.
Yes. The low-pass filter blurs the image's high frequencies, in brackets, fine detail, end brackets, at the pixel level. This eliminates, open brackets, or at the least greatly reduces, close brackets, moire and artifacts.
Right.
But it also reduces resolution.
Right.
Medium format photographers want maximum sharpness and prefer to compensate for any moire. and artifacts on a per image basis in post-processing. So medium format cameras don't have low pass filters. Most users of smaller format cameras, however, would rather not have to deal with moire. And I'm talking about me when I say that.
Yeah.
In post-processing. So these cameras have utilized low pass filters. There you are.
Right. Okay.
I think it was Dean Martin who sang about that. That's amore.
So what would be the advantage?
It's a lot of bad scum, that's amore.
So what would be the advantage of a DSLR without the low-pass filter?
Well, you'd have moire and artifacts, but you get to choose the level of reduction as opposed to it being automatically given to you.
Right.
So you could maybe do a gentler touch.
Right.
Yeah, and therefore, you get more detail.
Okay,
so part of this is it reduces fine detail. So by not having the filter, you get more detail, but also more artifacts, but you can reduce the artifacts at a lower level than you would do if it was just automatically done based on some, it's probably not done on a worst case scenario, but it's done on a fairly heavy hand where you can do it a lot faster and get a sharper, more detailed image.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Almost sounds like I know what I was talking about then, didn't it?
Yep, no, it did.
Damn.
Cool.
I know as the straight man in this duo, I should do stuff like that.
But. That's right. And the last thing that I had was the...
I thought you would have joined in with the more racing.
No, sorry.
Darren Oates one.
Yes. A link on Gizmodo for the new Samsung NX1. Now, the interesting thing about... NX1 in a bit. Say again?
Well, isn't the NX1 been around for a while? Is this like the NX1 in a bit?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Who knows? All these numbers all blur into one.
This was
into NX1 for that matter.
This this was posted on Gizmodo only just two days ago, saying they really like the NX30, but they wanted something more, and now
this is 29 less.
Here comes the NXI or NX1. I'm not sure if it's a one or an I.
It is a one. This is 29 less than 30 though, Bruce. They wanted more.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. 28 megapixels.
Canon's 22 better than that when their camera comes out.
With a backlit CMOS sensor.
Yeah, but they've got no moire in the... that's a moire. This is going to have a moire, this one.
Yeah.
See it now.
So this is a new type of sensor where the... What was it? Something was behind the sensor. Basically, putting all the minuscule and extraneous electronics of the sensor behind the photosensitive cells, making it significantly more reactive to light.
Exactly.
Samsung says the 28-megapixel NX1 sensor is superior in image noise to an equally sized 20-megapixel sensor, so it won't be terrible at taking low-light snaps. Well, there's a ringing endorsement. It won't be terrible.
It won't be as bad as a bad camera from a cheaper.
Yeah.
It won't be terrible at taking low light. It'll be shocking. It'll be horrible. It'll have bad functionality in this space, in this low light space.
That's it.
Yeah. It's got a dry me image processor though.
Yeah, I see it's that.
The dry me. Is that if you drop it in the toilet or something?
Maybe.
It's related to the powerful Exynos chips. They've got acronyms coming out there.
Wazoo.
That's the one. What is Wazoo an acronym for, though, we must ask? When you think about it.
Interesting collection of lenses available down the bottom. I don't know if you scrolled down.
10 mil. Yeah, nice. 10
mil, 3.5 fisheye. 16
mil, nice.
20 mil f2.8, 30 mil f2, 60 mil 2.8 macro with OIS, 85 1.4,
12 to 24.
Yeah,
where's the 70 to 2? Oh, it comes with a 50 to 150 2.8, and the 16. Oh, no, it doesn't come with. It's got a 6. They've got a 16 to 50, 2 to 2.8. It's a variable.
Yep,
and 50 to 150 says 70 to 200. Yep. 2.8. That's nice.
Yeah,
nice range. Piece. Yeah, probably a load of crap. But other than that.
Yeah, what's the crap?
I just don't like these small cameras.
Oh, don't you? Have you ever shot with one?
Yeah.
Which one?
I've used the Olympus. I've used the Fuji. Used the Panachronic.
Right.
Yeah. And
what is it you don't like? Just
the too bloody small. Just lad.
There's not enough heft there.
Yeah, I need to compensate. I need something big in my hand. It just can't. You can't twirl the knobs. You can't press the buttons. You can't. Yeah, it's not a fine. It's not. It's a fine to me. Right. It's a fine amateur tool.
They don't have the functionality. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the functionality is. It's just the accessibility. It also is an itty. It's a bit itty. It's just not as functional. It's not as accessible. And if you're working constantly, you need this stuff to be fluent and easy.
Right.
And these things I just don't find fluent and easy. Now, maybe it's because I don't put enough time into them. But I need to be able to spin dials, this dial, spin that dial, and be doing it without even thinking.
Well, this does have two control dials on the top of the body as well as your rotary controller on the back. So presumably...
It's a little bit more Canon-esque with a rotary dial on the back.
Yeah.
But if it's too small, I'd love to see one. I'll reserve
judgment.
Yes, you know, someone today said I was sarcastic.
Said you were sarcastic.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Cannot
said,
believe
like,
that.
Me. Me. Sarcastic. He goes, don't worry. Everyone says I'm negative. I said, well, we're perfect.
Anyway, so Darren, thank you for that link. Very interesting. Because I was quite interested in the, I think it was the NX 300 a while back.
Really?
And not that I was going to go out and buy one, but I thought it was an interesting looking beast. And, you know, Samsung are seriously throwing some money in the, into their camera division at the moment.
I don't know why. There's no money in it.
Yeah, well.
I mean, there's no money in it for anyone. I mean, if Canon and Nikon can't make it, no one can make a buck in this stuff anymore.
Well, I mean, I don't know enough about it, but I'm assuming it's probably running an Android operating system, and so it's going to tie in with all of their other, you know, mobile device.
A lot of money, though.
Hey?
It's still a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, yeah, have they got that much that, you know, anyhow, who's to speak? I did one camera-related thing when I was in Adelaide. I went to this American burger joint for lunch.
Right.
And went to the toilet. And they have a Polaroid camera toilet roll dispenser.
Oh, yes.
Which I was very impressed with. Yeah, yes. It was slightly creepy.
Yes, I saw that.
Was it fake? That was kind of cool.
And what's the link that you've just sent through?
Well, so the one thing I had this week was what I like to call trial by Twitter.
Right.
And there's this American football / gridiron.
Okay.
It's supposed to be catch of the century.
Right. Yeah.
By a guy called Odell Beckham Jr.,
right.
Amazing touchdown catch. And in the footage of this guy doing this catch is a photographer just behind who's moved his camera over his shoulder so he's not looking – so it's off to his left and he's got his other camera down low and he's just like a little bit cowering, a little bit sort of backing away. Obviously, as far as everyone can see, being more concerned either watching or being astonished or moving out of the way rather than shooting.
Right.
And so he's being fired on Twitter by, you know, people saying that he should be sacked and all, just abuse going on about this thing. This poor guy got absolutely flamed.
Yeah.
But he's got a 500mm lens on his camera.
Yeah.
And the guy's 10 feet away from him.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be getting much in the way of a nice big wide shot of that.
No.
That on. Now, he's also got another camera around his neck. Now he's come back and said, well, no, in actual fact, I'm walking along, going back to the press room to hand in some memory cards.
Yeah.
And I was actually picking up another guy's. And this action started to happen. So I shot the quarterback throwing with the 500mm lens.
Yeah.
And then I tried to look to see, well, where's it going to? And I saw this guy bolting down towards me. So I quickly jumped to the 70 to 200. And it's got closer. He's pulled it out to 70.
Yeah.
And he's tried to reach down to get these, pick up his camera with his wide angle lens. But it's all just happened so fast because it's right on top of him.
Yeah.
So it's just shot with the 70mm. So everyone's just flamed this guy. And then he shows the shot he did manage to get with his 70 to 200.
Yeah.
And it's pretty darn amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball's only half in frame.
Yep.
But considering constraints you're working with and the tightness.
And considering that the camera was at his chest level, it wasn't anywhere near his eye.
Yeah.
So he's shooting wild.
It's pretty darn amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just amazing this whole, how the world's consumed with stuff. Now, this guy got absolutely attacked and then he's been redeemed and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, because everyone becomes instant experts in photography because this guy's got a camera and he should have been taking photos. But I just thought that was an interesting little piece I came across during the week. So it's the one thing I actually bid for this week.
Nice.
I'll sort of take the piss out of everything else. But yeah, that's just a normal.
Yeah.
It's just a given.
Now, we've got, I think it's 18 people signed up for the project.
Go you, good thing.
Yeah.
So we're ready to launch.
So we'll call it quits.
And everyone takes two.
Hey? Yeah.
It takes two.
Yeah. So I will go and grab a disposable camera this weekend.
Cool.
And I'll fire off a couple of frames. And actually, I'll aim to do that before Sunday so I can do a couple of shots while I'm out with Nick and our model.
Oh, Jesus. You're going for the pro shoot already. You've got the model. This whole thing, isn't it?
And then I'll send the camera down to Glenn.
No, don't send it. I'll be the last.
Oh, you want to be last? Okay.
Well, that way it comes back to us.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's a good point. So I will work out a list. I will collate all the names. I will print the names out on a list, and that list will get forwarded around with the camera.
Yes.
So you can tick your name off when you've shot your two frames, and then you just mail it on to the next person on the list. Make sense?
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Camera or something.
Say again?
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Camera.
That's the one. Yeah, exactly. It's fun, isn't it? So, so we'll get that ball rolling and hopefully...
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing what...
Yeah.
What we get out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No pressure, everyone, but it better be... No, that's... average is fine.
Of course it is.
Even below average is acceptable.
Yeah.
I don't want to put any pressure
on myself. Ask Lynn. Mine will be below average.
And no, I'm worried about myself.
Excellent. All right,
one little tip for anyone who's going out there.
Yeah.
Try taking a photo with your iPhone or something first.
Right.
Obviously, just to see how it's handling light levels and stuff like that, making sure you're the phone's got more capability of exposure than your disposable. It's got a similar angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get a bit of an idea for composition and stuff. You do a few little tests and see if there's any problems, and then try shooting it with your disposable. Just, yeah.
Cool.
Just as a little tip.
Sounds like a good tip.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I will indeed.
Get that phone out of your mouth.
It's a mile away. It's like at least, is it?
Bloody hell.
10 inches. It'll be at least 10 inches. It must be the internet.
Well, you have a good week.
I will.
And I will talk to you next week.
See ya. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.